So, Shanae Taraka Bhij Mantra. I wanted to talk a little bit about my understanding of the Taraka Bhij. I want to start with a little quote from the Kanka Upanishad that Michael Stone quotes in his book. It's a very nice and simple translation. Beyond the senses are the objects. Okay? Senses, objects. Beyond the objects is the mind. Beyond the mind is the intellect. Beyond the intellect, the Atman. Beyond the Atman, the non-manifest. Beyond the non-manifest, the spirit. Beyond the spirit, there is nothing. This is the end, pure awareness. If you think of the Mangalam, this is, in a way, Bhumi, it's naming all aspects of creation from the most quote-unquote gross, Bhumi, earth, all the way to the most subtle. I guess we could say here, Atman, here in this quote from the Upanishad, Atman is even still a pretty manifest thing. Maybe we could say in the Mangalam Sarva, the Sarva Mangalam is almost the unmanifest. It's all cycling around the same notion, though. It's what, you know what I'm thinking of, those Russian dolls that each one sits in another one?
Nesting dolls.
That's really what we're grappling with here in this body of teachings, because we're always probing to the next deeper level. And in a strange way, when we move through the different levels of what we can call creation, in a strange way, each one is a microcosm of the one that came before. And even though they may look different, in those nesting dolls, each one is a little bit smaller. And when we're moving through the layers of consciousness, which is a microcosm in the yogi paradigm of the entire creation, it's very, very similar. So we get to take that journey when we chant the Mangalam, if we're doing it with real mindfulness. Even if we're not, we get to take the journey, we just may miss it. Kind of like when you're driving and you don't realize you just went through a red light or whatever. But when we take the journey through the Mangalam and really feel the presence of each aspect of creation, we get to move from the most manifest to the most infinite and yet at the same time unmanifest, except as it's pervading everything. So this little quote from the Upanishad is, in a sense, it's stating the same thing, although a little bit differently. Beyond the senses are the objects. It's really, I would translate this, not beyond, because that seems to suggest out. I don't know what the in would be. Deeper than the senses are the objects. Deeper than the objects is the mind. Deeper than the mind is the intellect. Deeper than the intellect is the Atman. Deeper than the Atman is the non-manifest. Deeper than the non-manifest is spirit. Deeper than the spirit, there is nothing. This is the end. Pure awareness. And I wanted to bring this reading in because it very much, how can I say, this is what the Taraka Bhij mantra is. Because the Taraka Bhij is everything that comes before. This is the end, pure awareness. And the Dumavati Bhij is the end. This is the end, pure awareness. I've been thinking about this process of consciousness quite a bit lately in my own meditation experience. There's a very interesting thing happening, which is very hard for me to put into words. And it's recent. It's only been happening, I would say, the last 6 months or so. I find myself moving into a depth of that void place. Again, we often refer to it as the self with a capital S. The Buddhists often refer to it as shunyata. I have to put it again here. Yeah, this is the end, pure awareness. And for so many years I thought that I was touching into pure awareness, and maybe I was, but this is something deeper and more profound. This is a dissolving of structures of my personality that I didn't even realize were there. And when I find myself dissolving into that state, I don't really have words to explain it. It's very difficult for me to articulate. But in that process, I'm beginning to have the experience that is giving me an understanding I've never had before of just how much this universe actually doesn't exist the way we think it does. How that it really is an illusion. That it's really all energy. And all of the narrative that we create of our lives and our emotions and everything that the senses draws us to and everything that we're so identified with, and it seems so real. And you know, and then we do practice and we think that we're detaching from it, but I'm beginning to see how not really. The story, there's so many layers of the story, and we're so easily caught up in the story even when we think it's the non-story. And this formless state, there's really nothing there. Nothing. And at the same time, everything is the great paradox. And we read about it and we touch it. And again, you know, over my years of sadhana, I thought I was touching it, and I suppose I was touching something. But this is a deeper, more profound experience of this dissolving than I have yet encountered in my own process. And again, the simplest way I can describe it is to say, when I'm in it, you know, SG as I know her has completely and totally ceased to exist. And there's something remarkably wonderful about that. So how does this relate to the Tarkovich mantra? So, the first part of it is the Lakshmi part. And as we know, Lakshmi is so much a personification or embodying or a mantric field of this. I'm sorry, I'm a little bit spaced out tonight. Lakshmi is not the mantric field. The Tarkovich is the mantra field. Lakshmi, as we know, we've talked about it for so many years, is this the power of creation, abundance, infinite potential, everything we strive for, the most magnificent aspects of creation, the most everythingness, the sarva, mangalam, is Lakshmi. And we've done Lakshmi practice over the years as a way of infusing our body-mind systems with this shakti that can push us into fuller and deeper and more embodying of our potential as human beings. You know, I've said it so many times, whatever we are, Lakshmi Shakti makes us better. Lakshmi Shakti makes us more magnificent. Lakshmi Shakti is a very expansive energy field. Abundance, good fortune, majesty, luxurious, all those words that we use to try to touch the pure essence of what Lakshmi Shakti is. And Timavati is, in a sense, the opposite. It's the opposite pole. And it is the void. And what I'm beginning to have that experience now in my own meditation practice, where I seem to be touching into that Jumavati void. And it's not even a vortex, it's nothingness and everything. It's an absolute dissolving. And as you know, those of you who've been with me for a long time know, I always put these two Bija mantras together because I see them so much as opposite poles on this one spectrum of creation. And without the grounding void of Jumavati, the ascending magnificence of Lakshmi is not possible. So how does this relate to our lives? I've been thinking a lot the last week or so about the way, boy, it's freezing. Are you cold? It's freezing.
Yeah, I feel cold.
Yeah, would you mind closing? Sorry. You know, we all wrestle with our psycho-emotional wounding. And like it or not, we're born into an imperfect world with imperfect parents who do their best and basically muck it up royally. And we are little by little hardwired often to become a shadow of who we truly are. And it's not anybody's fault, it's just the way it happened. And the inner journey, the transformational journey, whether we do that in this kind of a format or in, you know, psychotherapy or combining them all or whatever, you know that journey is about reaching down into the depths of the wounded places and reclaiming the wounded places and knitting them back into the fabric of what we are. And this whole notion in the yoga paradigm of samskaras, you know, again, the samskaras, the impressions that we take in the subtle body that begin to form the hard wiring. And once the samskara has really formed itself, it has a kind of magnetic pull. So that, let's say, it's a samskara of self-criticism. Let's say we've been criticized a lot growing up, and every time we were criticized, that hurt, and it made an impression, and the impression became a samskara. But in that samskara, there's this hard wiring. They were so conditioned to be criticized that the samskara then begins like a magnet attracting criticism to us. That's what, you know, the self-fulfilling prophecy. Or in a psychological paradigm, we would talk about the unconscious. There's the pull of the unconscious that keeps recreating the same situation over and over and over in life. And hopefully one begins to develop awareness and can stop as we find ourselves stuck in that same old pattern and make a conscious choice to shift out of the old way of doing things. That would be more of a psychotherapeutic way of being with that process. In a yogic way of being with that process, we're more interested about simply awakening awareness and staying present in the emotional experience that is arising in the presence of the wound, and then allowing the fire of our practice to burn it up. So the Taraka Bija Mantra and Dhammavati, it's a very interesting polarity, because we can also think of Lakshmi, that again in this mantra we're experiencing as in the form of the Taraka Bija, if you think about some place in yourself that is quote unquote wounded, and it's always good to just pick something simple. Another level of Lakshmi, you know, again, is that the Lakshmi Shakti grows everything. It will also grow the wound, right? It will take the wound and grow it bigger. And we like to think of Lakshmi always as a very benevolent grace. And that's correct. But it also doesn't have a lot of... the deity fields do not get caught in duality the way we do. So if Lakshmi Shakti is touching the wound, it'll blow it up bigger. Because that's kind of what it does. If we don't have awareness, you know, we want to be careful of what we pray for. Mm-hmm. So, but Dhammavati is the void. See, Dhammavati is the black hole of consciousness. Dhammavati is like the ultimate vacuum cleaner of the wound. So, if you work with this mantra in that way tonight, if you just let something in your life that is causing unhappiness, suffering, discontent, disappointment, disillusion, whatever it is, if you just kind of hold that, hold it in your heart, or hold it in your gut, or just hold it in front of you, and feed it to Dhammavati. Dum, dum, Dhammavati, Svaha. And then allow the Taraka Bija to just lift you into the fullness of your true being, so that you're feeding the wound to this Dhammavati, where it's ground up and totally recycled. And then Lakshmi can just reach in and lift it up into the magnificence that is our true birthright.